Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus is in his sufferings. He knew this all along. He knew exactly where he would suffer. He knew exactly where he would be put to death. Imagine if you would know where you would die. If you would know the place where you would suffer terribly, what would you do? You would avoid that place. You wouldn't go straight towards it. But that's what the Lord Jesus did. He set his face steadfast to go to Jerusalem, and his disciples followed him. He knew exactly what was awaiting him, and he went. And now he is in his deepest sufferings. He is on the cross. And they crucified him there. They put a sign above his head: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate put it there to mock those Jews, those troublesome Jews who cause him so much problem, many problems. He said, "Well, look, Jews, he is your king. Look at him." And yet Pilate is again a prophet, because already he had said, "Behold your king." He had said, "Behold the man. See what has become of man." Pilate was a preacher, but he didn't realize it. He was a pagan. And then he says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." "Right on, Pilate." But the man didn't realize what he was saying. He was indeed proclaiming to the people of Israel that this is your king. And what are they doing to him? They're crucifying him. And so the Lord Jesus is now in suffering. He has been unjustly condemned to death. Why is it? Why is that happening? Because we deserve to be condemned to death. He had already been whipped and scourged. Why? Because we deserve to be thrashed for our rebellion against God. We see here the Lord Jesus in the place of his people. They put that heavy burden of the cross upon his back so that we could be delivered from the unbearable burden of our guilt, and that we could receive his yoke that is easy and his burden which is light. His hands and feet have been nailed to the cross, because otherwise we would have had to be bound hand and foot and cast into the bottomless pit full of unquenchable fire. And so the soldiers have crucified the Lord Jesus together with two thieves. They place the sign above the head of the Lord Jesus, and now they've done their work. What they only have to do now is to keep watch and to make sure that there are no irregularities and that these three convicted criminals can die. They can slowly die in the scorching sun, suffering terrible pain and anguish and awful thirst. But just before his crucifixion, something else happened. They removed the clothes of the Lord Jesus. This would happen to those who were crucified. The two thieves, their clothes are also removed. But that was to be expected. But here, that the Lord Jesus, his clothes are removed, this event is noteworthy. It's recorded in all four Gospels. That means there's something noteworthy about it. John wrote his gospel, the last of all these four gospels. And he knew those other three gospels. But yet he wanted to have this recorded because this is something so significant. The words of our text, verse 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. We see here Jesus' garments removed. He has no rights, no honor, and no covering. In those days, crucifixion will be carried out by a group of four soldiers, a quaternion. They had a commander with them called a centurion. And it was the custom that these soldiers were allowed to keep the clothes of those who were crucified. And so the soldiers removed the clothes of the Lord Jesus, and they tore his upper garment into four pieces, so that every soldier would receive one part. Clothes were in those days more valuable than for us today. They could sell that piece of cloth. Could always be used for something. But then the undergarment, that was in one piece. They didn't want to tear this into pieces. It would lose its value. So they decided to cast lots to see which of the soldiers, of the four soldiers, could keep it. In this way, everything was taken away from someone who was crucified. Such a person had nothing left. The last thing he had, even his own clothes, were taken from him. Such a one had no rights left whatsoever. He didn't even have the right to wear clothes. He had no right to be any more upon earth. So they would hang him up between heaven and earth. That's where he would hang literally, hanging in his shame, naked upon a cross, as a spectacle for the people. The people were watching him, looking at him, and everyone could see him hanging there. The soldiers did this to the two thieves who were crucified along with the Lord Jesus. They were also hanging naked on a cross. But this also happened to the Lord Jesus. He was no criminal. John wearies himself to show in his gospel that the Lord Jesus was innocent. I think it's more than five times that Pilate declares, I see no guilt in him. John pictures the Lord Jesus rightly as being innocent, innocently crucified. Because you must realize that it was quite a challenge for the apostles in those beginning days to proclaim the gospel. The gospel we preach, Christ who is crucified. That's horrendous. What a proclamation is that? Someone who's crucified, well, there must be something wrong with that man. But here John, having heard these complaints from people and these remarks, he shows clearly that the Lord Jesus was innocent. And now his clothes are removed from him who was innocent. It's terrible. And that the Lord Jesus endured this suffering, that they nailed him to the cross naked, is awful. He who had created heaven and earth was now hanging in between heaven and earth. The earth didn't want to bear him anymore. And heaven didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore, because we have forfeited our right to walk on God's earth. Because we deserve to be cast away by heaven. And then the Lord Jesus has then this beautiful undergarment. This would have covered his body down to the knees. It had no seam. It was woven one piece from the top right down to the bottom. Now you should know that the Lord had determined in the laws of Moses that the high priest had to wear such a garment, woven without a seam, from the top to the bottom. You can read that in Exodus 28, verse 32, where a description is given of the high priestly garment, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. So here we see a similarity between the Lord Jesus and the high priest among Israel. For here he is just as the high priest, clothed with a special garment woven in one piece. Here we see again a pointer that he is the fulfillment of the office of high priest. And here we see the high priest of the church, the only high priest, working reconciliation for poor, guilty sinners. And so the Lord Jesus is here exposed to the heat of the sun. Here he has become totally poor, hanging on a cross. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was born in poverty. But then still he had swaddling clothes that his mother could wrap him in to cover his nakedness. But now on the cross, he has nothing left. During his life, the Lord Jesus would say that the foxes have burrows and the birds have nests, but that the Son of Man did not even have a stone to lay his head upon. But then still, he had his own clothes. But now even his clothes are removed from him. Now he has nothing left. He was poor at his birth. He was poor when he ministered among the people. And now he has become poorer still. Here we see the surety. He has no rights, because you and I have forfeited all rights. We sometimes speak about human rights, but on Calvary you see that man has no rights. There are no real human rights in the sight of God. We have lost these rights because we sinned against God. When Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, they lost all their rights. And that's why Christ here has no rights left. Because it were not only the hands of those rough Roman soldiers who tore the garments off Christ, it was the hand of his God removing the garments from his Son. The first gift Adam received after the fall was his clothing. But he was not entitled to this. 'Twas all grace. And therefore the garment of the last Adam has to be taken away. Because by sin we have lost all our rights with God, and therefore Christ is here without any rights. He heard those soldiers deliberating about that one garment, and he heard the dice being cast, and he realized how the Romans were gambling away his clothes. And here we see even that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus even merits our clothing. We're not even entitled to wear clothing. Do we realize this? Do we realize that the Lord Jesus was hanging naked on the cross in his shame because you and I have conducted ourselves shamefully? Have we already humbled ourselves before the Lord because of this? Have we fallen on our knees before the Lord with the confession, Lord, I caused thee all this shame. My sins cause thee such shame. Have you already confessed before the Lord that you're not entitled to anything? You and I have both fallen away from God, and the result is that we deserve nothing, because God alone is the source of all good. Even our clothes have been earned by the crucifixion of Christ. Shall we think about this in this coming summer season? Shall we remember the Lord Jesus earned for us clothing, decent clothing? He was hanging in shame so that we could be properly clothed. God gives us clothing to cover our shame. And when you realize this, you will be concerned about what you're wearing. Because the Lord wants you to be dressed honorably. You should not expose yourself to others. You're not even allowed to do that. And the Lord Jesus paid the price so that you could be properly dressed. When we realize this, we shall seek to be clothed honorably. Also, when we come to God's house, for we must also honor the Lord by our clothing. And therefore, the Lord Jesus had to hang naked upon the cross. He had to miss everything in order to give you everything. He became unspeakably poor because we had become so poor. And you will only see his wealth when you've learned to realize your own poverty. Therefore, ask the Lord much to know yourself as you really are. Then you will realize and see your own poverty, your shameful conduct. And then you will see Christ hanging there in your shame. You will see him, Christ, bearing your poverty, and he is praying for your shortcomings. Then you will fall down before him, saying, Lord, thou art so good, thou art so filled with love. On the cross thou didst have no rights left, because I lost all my rights. Jesus had no rights left. But he also had no honor left, because the soldiers took everything away, his clothes, but thereby also his honor. Everything was removed from a one who was convicted to be crucified. The last thing he had, his own clothes. They were taken away because he had no honor whatsoever. And here we see the Son of the Father, the Lord of Lords, the Governor of the universe, the Almighty God, God of God, Light of Light. He had nothing left hanging on the cross. The last thing the Lord Jesus had, his clothes were removed from him. Nothing had to remind the people of this crucified one. He was out of society. No honor. The people didn't want the Lord Jesus anymore. And in a few moments, his God would not want him anymore either. Because then it would be 3 hours darkness on Calvary's Hill. And in those 3 hours, you don't hear the Lord Jesus speaking. It's at the end, after this, it says. Then the Lord Jesus spoke 3 words. But in those 3 sayings, but in those 3 hours, it was silent on Calvary. There was darkness descending. And then the Lord Jesus was in outer darkness, in hell. where you and I deserve to be. And now we see him hanging there in his shame. And therefore those who have still some sense of honor would turn their eyes away from him. Because it was a horrendous event that took place on Calvary. The fact already that someone would be crucified was a horrible shame. You know, we have the idea of a cross. We think of a nice, planed, smooth cross, nicely varnished. It's beautiful. But the cross in reality was ugly, awful. If you ever come in Nazareth Village, today you find there an exposition of how Nazareth must have been in the days of the Lord Jesus. And there they also have a cross. It's horrible. There are two branches, beams from a tree, boughs from a tree, crooked, nailed together. Nothing smooth. It's horrible. And they would nail someone on those rough branches. And that's a cross. To be compared to us, the gallows. We've never seen gallows, I guess. We don't hang criminals anymore. But that was a shame. It was awful. Or the electric chair. There's nothing nice about that. Terrible. We think of a remote member of our family who may be in prison. We'd rather not talk about him. It's a shame. What a terrible shame to be crucified. All honor is removed from the Lord Jesus. Here we see the words of Isaiah fulfilled. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Who would have ever thought that he was the King of glory? Who would have thought that he was the Almighty King of Israel as he was hanging there? Nobody there thought about that. Nobody. It was not to be looked upon. It's no miracle that Mary and the other woman stood at a distance. They turned their face away. The Lord Jesus had no honor because we have spoiled the honor of God. We have cast away God's honor when we cast away that image of God in paradise, when we chose to belong to God's enemy, we wanted to be as God, and therefore we have lost every honor. We fall short of the glory of God. Has that become your biggest problem in life? And is your greatest desire that you would be clothed with the image of Christ? That's the aim of life. The aim of life is not to unravel all kinds of so-called conspiracy theories. The aim of life is not to be afraid and scared about what's all going to happen. The aim of life is not to be worried about our business and about our home and all that stuff. No, the aim of life is to be clothed with the image of Christ. And the day will come when nothing else is important, but only this one thing. Does God see his image restored in my life? And woe the man who does not bear the image of Christ. He will be cast away forever. And so that's our biggest concern in life, if things are right with us. Because we have cast away God's honor. And that's why Christ is now without clothes on the cross. In total dishonor. It can't get any worse. There's nothing more than people can do to him. to make him look without honor. You know, before the fall in paradise, clothes were not necessary. Man wore the garment of innocence. But after the fall, clothing was needed because of sin. And without clothes, we would be ashamed of ourselves. Our society must have clothes. You can't walk around in our society without clothes. Society won't function. We would hide ourselves because of our shame. Our honor would be gone. And that's happened now to the Lord Jesus. It had to be like this. Peter and John could not now come to the cross and cover him. Shem and Japheth were not allowed to come and place a garment upon the Lord Jesus like they did once to their father Noah. No, Jesus has now become less than Noah. He must bear Noah's shame and the shame of all his descendants because they had behaved themselves shamefully before God. Have you seen that? That you behave yourself shamefully? Have you already seen that you have spoiled the glory of God, that you fall short of the glory of God? And do you now realize that that's why the Lord Jesus is hanging there with no glory, no honor? Have we been uncovered to our shame? Do you realize that that's the reason why the Lord Jesus is now up hanging in shame upon the cross? When you realize that it's because of our sin, then you become nauseated at yourself. You start to loathe yourself, as the form for the Lord's Supper tells us. If people knew what was inside of you, you will be utterly ashamed. But the Lord knows what's inside you and me. He knows when you really do not give the highest place to the Lord Jesus in your life. When you're far more concerned about other things, about prosperity, about a boat, or about a home, or whatever it is. You're far more concerned about that than about the honor of God. The Lord knows our vain thoughts. He knows us so well that He gives us in advance already a full Savior. Because the Lord Jesus is hanging there in His shame without honor. And that's the only way our sinners could be saved. Hands of loving women had woven this garment for him. Rough hands of soldiers ripped it from him. But the garment was not torn. That was not allowed to happen. Because there would be a disgrace for Christ if that garment would be ripped. Because he is still high priest. And the high priest was never allowed to tear his clothes. Because the high priest had to radiate the joy of the Lord, the joy of reconciliation. He was never allowed out of grief to tear his clothes. And that shows that the high priest Caiaphas, when he had so-called interrogated the Lord Jesus and had so-called found an accusation against the Lord Jesus, he has blasphemed God and then he tore his clothes. Shame on you, Caiaphas. He was never allowed to do that. The Lord Jesus in his life saw so much sorrow and grief. He was surrounded with people who were sick. And he saw so much grief and sorrow. And his soul was pure, holy, undefiled. At times he wept. He wept because of all the grief and the sorrow he saw. But he never tore his clothes because of grief. He wasn't allowed to do that. He was the high priest. And now these clothes are taken from him and they are gambled away. The surety was in terrible disgrace and dishonor. What honor did the prodigal son receive when he came home? He received a new garment. And what an honor does a poor sinner receive when he comes to the Lord in prayer and he confesses his unworthiness and he looks to the Lord Jesus as his only surety. Such a one is clothed with the garments of salvation. He receives honor in the house of the Father because Christ earned this honor for him. And therefore we are called to humble ourselves. For those who humble themselves, they will be exalted. And so we see the Lord Jesus here, that the garments are removed from him. He has no rights, he has no honor, and he has no covering. He's hanging on the cross with no covering. When man fell in sin and realized their nakedness, God gave man a covering. You read that in Genesis 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God gave man still a covering for his nakedness. But when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, he had nothing left. He didn't even have a garment to cover his nakedness. For fallen man, there was still grace. But for Christ, there is now no grace. Because he has nothing left. Because Jesus was made to be sin, he had to bear the sins of his people. He bore the curse of his people. But these persons deserve nothing anymore. And that's why Christ has nothing. He is exposed to the holy anger of God. Because Christ did not only have to do without his clothes, he had to do without his God. God did not even want to look at him. Because in Habakkuk 1 verse 13 you read, Thou, O Lord, art purer of eyes than to behold evil. And thou canst not look on iniquity. And here is Jesus burdened with iniquity of his people. He is considered to be the sinner. And now God doesn't want to look at him anymore. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. But God also hid his face from him. And how do you think that you can stand before a holy God with a life full of sin, only paying lip service to God, and in the meantime leading your own life and pretending that all is fine because you're a nice Christian boy or girl? But where will you stand before the Lord God with a life full of sin and self-love? If God did not spare his son, where will you be, sinner, with all your guilt? Therefore, realize your condition. How can you ever stand before the justice of God if Christ is not your surety, if he has not become your all in all? How do you think you will be able to stand before the holy God? He, you see, Christ, his own son, he has nothing left. How will it be with you if you live without Christ? And therefore, our clothes have to be removed. Now, our clothes, what clothes? The clothes of our pride. We're covered with pride. The clothes of our ungratefulness. The clothes of our false rest. The clothes of our conceitedness, the clothes of our harshness, the clothes of our deceitful heart, all these clothes have to be removed from us. We have to lose all our self-chosen fig leaves. We don't need any garment of ourselves to cover our sins. We don't need a garment of self-righteousness or a garment of so-called good works. We don't need a garment of contrition before we come to the Lord Jesus. We don't need a garment of tears before we come to the Lord Jesus. We don't need a garment of outward obedience. No, nothing of us can cover our shame. We should come as a naked, lost sinner before the face of God, because only Christ in his nakedness can cover my shame of sin. And this is the inexpressible grace we find revealed here in this event. For an uncovered, guilty sinner, God uses soldiers' hands to portray the redemption of a poor sinner. Christ, no suffering, no covering, so that he would stand in our place. And then here we hear the voice of God speaking through Christ to us from the cross. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And now sinners can be clothed with the garments of salvation. All clothes removed from Christ, so that you would receive white garments. I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He was found naked, so that you would never have to stand naked before a holy God, but that you would be under the covering of his righteousness. And so this nakedness of Christ preaches that there is still a covering for guilty sinners. And then his poverty becomes your wealth, because the garment of righteousness is freely received. It has been paid for. And that garment is not too short. It covers all sins. And because of this garment, you see sinners without sin, because they are clothed with the garment of his full righteousness. They first tried to do all they could to be saved. Like George Whitefield, when he was under impressions, he tried to do everything to gain righteousness, and he withheld food from him. He would go fasting. He would at times totally abstain from all food. He would wear clothing in which he knew that he would get cold, but he bore it all because he wanted to earn righteousness, until he discovered and found out that everything he did could not merit the righteousness of God. And then he realized he had to fall into the arms of the everlasting God, with nothing to cover him, with no offers, no sacrifices. He laid everything down before the Lord. And that's the secret of a sinner who realizes he has nothing to cover himself, and he falls down into the loving arms of God. And then you see that Christ becomes everything for you. And congregation, all this had to happen because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. The scriptures will never be broken. In verse 24, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. This was portrayed by Psalm 22. There we read in verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This terrible event happened to the Lord Jesus. It had to be this way. God's righteous and holy justice had to be satisfied because God is a three times holy God and He will remain holy. And therefore payment must be given. The Lord cannot condone sin, then He would no longer be God anymore. And so the Scriptures had to be fulfilled. And that's why Jesus had to lose all His clothing. Shall we then not humble ourselves before Him? Shall we then not ask clothes to cover our shame? Shall we then not be clothed with Christ? Look at Him suffering. He had nothing left so that He could give you everything. And then everything of my life belongs to Him. What wilt thou have me do? Amen.